Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at Four. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Lindsay, touchdown Broncos. A 15-play drive. And Lindsay did a lot of the work.
All right, well, Philip Lindsay ran for a 157 the last time CU barely hung on to beat UNC, and that rivalry, storied rivalry, will be renewed on September 3rd. Sorry, Rams. Hope, you know, everything's cool with, like, New Mexico State. Anyway, Philip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon. Tyler, I understand you've got an interesting take on where this is going.
Well, you know what? This is a weird situation where you look at it on paper and you've got two borderline Pro Bowl players at that spot. And you're thinking, man, you got to be set there. But if you do a little bit of digger deepen on this, you're looking at Melvin Gordon's situation, and he's going to be facing a suspension unless he gets off on his DUI. He's going to be facing a 3-game suspension. He's making a ton of money. And you're going to either only have him for part of the season, or you might even make a difficult decision to move on from him. And then you look at Philip Lindsay's situation, and my opinion of Phil, your opinion of Phil, everybody at the station, it doesn't matter. Everybody knows that I love Philip Lindsay. But the reality is, I can read between the tea leaves on the situation, and the team has not been in love with Phil for a long time. They went out and got Melvin Gordon in the offseason for a reason. And this year, they utilized Melvin Gordon the way that they wanted to, and they don't want to use Phil in the passing game. And so I'm looking at these two guys thinking to myself, you know what? This might be a situation that on paper looks pretty dang good, but it might actually explode. That room actually, in theory, could explode. You might not have either one of these guys on this team next year. Now, I think it's more likely that you'll have one, and I think that that guy's probably going to be Melvin Gordon, because I think what's going to happen with Phil, I did a little bit of digging today. I checked in with a few different people on just getting, kind of checking in, getting their opinions on what they think the Broncos will do with Phil, and The majority of the feedback came back in a similar direction, that most people think that the Broncos will hit Phil with an original round tender. So what does that mean? Well, it means that Phil would get paid $2.133 million. And the team, when you put an original round tender on somebody, that means that anybody else, they can come make an offer for your guy. And if they sign him, well, you get in return compensation of whatever your original round was that you drafted that guy. For Phil, he's undrafted. So if you put an original round tender on Philip Lindsay, well, somebody's going to scoop him up in a heartbeat, because all they have to do is pay him more than 2.1 or give him a long-term deal that is similar in that range.
You sure about that?
Give him some guaranteed money, and they don't have to give up in any sort of compensation to the Broncos.
You sure?
Am I sure about what?
That there's other teams that would scoop him up for that?
I feel very confident in that, yes. I mean, if you were telling me that you had to give up a second rounder, which that's an option, you could put a second round tender on Philip Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, you now have to pay him $3.259 million,
right,
and you would get a second rounder in return for him.
Right, which keeps him on the team.
But, yes. Oh, D-Mac, yeah, without a doubt, I think that he would get scooped up in an absolute heartbeat. If you don't have to give up anything in compensation, all you have to do is give him a deal. You could give him a two-year $10 million deal. You give him a two-year $9 million deal, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more than what the Broncos are going to give.
So you think they'll offer a tender that'll pay him 2.1? Is that what you said?
I think they will offer him an original round tender, which is 2.1.
And the second round tender is worth 3.25.
Correct.
So, in your opinion, you don't think the Broncos think he's worth another $1 million, basically. He's worth 2.1. We're fine with that. He's not worth 3.25.
Yeah, that's and when you put it like that, I think that sounds ridiculous. Why would you not value him for an extra $1 million?
But football,
yes, that's what I'm telling you.
For football money, that's peanuts.
That's what I'm telling you, that I think that that's the way that the team feels about Phil. And we all know that I feel differently. I would have never gone out and got Melvin Gordon, but I'm pointing out the situation, and I'm reading the temperature. So what I'm saying here, long term, is that I think that Phil's probably gone, and you're probably going to bring Melvin Gordon back, but there's a chance that you don't even bring him back. So if you think about that, well, all of a sudden you went from a room that on paper looks pretty dang good mm-hmm. to you've got some needs. So it, if Phil is gone, if somebody does pick him up, sign him to a longer term deal, you know what? We need to be either signing a running back in free agency, which I don't think is the way to go about this because I don't want to pay another running back, mm-hmm. or you need to be drafting a running back probably in the third round.
Well, what about doing both? What if your running backs next year, because I'm looking at a list of free agents and draftable guys that may be there, what if your two guys next year were Mark Ingram and Trey Sermon from Ohio State?
Well, so you're saying Melvin Gordon's gone also?
Mm-hmm. I'm playing that game. They're both gone.
I don't like it. I don't like it?
Why?
I don't want to go out and pay another running back. I don't want to do it.
You don't want to pay him at all?
In my mind, if you're okay with paying another running back similar money to what you're paying to Melvin Gordon, which I don't think Mark Ingram would get that at
this
point.
That's right. I was aiming low.
I was
trying to put a low ball money figure on it.
Okay, but I would prefer to just keep Philip Lindsay around than go out and get Melvin Gordon.
They both might both be gone. And then I'm just asking you, what would be a better quarterback room? You know, Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay or Mark Ingram and Trey Sermon?
What would be better? That's a good question. Well, what would be better would be Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay. That would be better.
Well, you can certainly do that if you're the Broncos. I mean, you don't have to not do it. In fact, you know what you could do? You could keep that and just draft a running back in the third or fourth round anyway. Just go from there. You could easily do that.
Yeah, I think the point that I'm really trying to get at here, it is not so much that Phil is 100% gone, although I think more than likely he is.
Mm-hmm.
I think the point is you need to take a running back probably in the third, maybe fourth round, but it's got to be high enough that you feel like you're getting a starting caliber running back.
All right, let's play this game then. So you're playing the, listen, man, they don't value Phil enough. Somebody else will. He's going to be gone. Bing. You're going to keep Melvin Gordon, I guess, in this particular scenario. So what type of running back? See, I'm not even looking for a name here, but if you're keeping Melvin Gordon, and you just lost Philip Lindsay, what type of running back are you looking for?
You're looking for Philip Lindsay, ironically. You're looking for a speed back that does something that's different than Melvin Gordon.
But see, they don't use Philip Lindsay like they should be using him.
Fair enough, but I'm just telling you that Philip Lindsay represents the type of running back that is actually the perfect complementary role to Melvin Gordon. If you utilized him in the appropriate way, he would be the perfect complement. So
what are the qualities that you would look
for? Well, you're going for the speed guy. You're going for the guy that's going to run outside the box. So, like in the Super Bowl year, we had Ronnie Hillman and we had C.J. Anderson. Mm-hmm. C.J. Anderson was our starter. C.J. Anderson was our bread and butter guy.
Bumper.
He would take it up the middle. He would be our guy that we would try to hit 4 yards, 8 yards, 5 yards, 10 yards, right? Mm-hmm. And then we'd bring Ronnie Hillman in with specialty packages that we would get the tackles out in space. We would go mm-hmm. T-pole, and we would try to hit Ronnie on the sweeps that we get him outside and go for the home run.
Were you more likely to throw the ball to Ronnie or CJ?
CJ.
CJ, okay.
I think. I don't know. I don't know what the stats say on that. I my gut tells me it was CJ.
I'm just thinking that outside guy is also a pass catcher too. Like, he's a good receiver.
Yeah, but that's what Melvin's supposed to be. Like, that's why we went out and got him. So, I don't think we need to get a compliment for the pass catching abilities.
Okay. All right. It just feels like it's backwards with Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay. It just feels like Philip Lindsay is backwards. He should be the Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, you know, smaller pass catching.
Yeah.
You know, that guy.
We should be getting him out in space,
not just
running him down the middle all the time.
So you're saying let's use Melvin Gordon in terms of pass catching, but let's have another guy who's got more speed.
Hold on.
I'm confused.
No. Melvin Gordon's still your bread and butter. He's your workhorse. He's your guy that you've got on the field three quarters of the time, and he's getting 3/4 of the carries. But your complimentary guy, mm-hmm. he just has to have a specialty skill set that is different than Melvin Gordon's so that when you bring him in the game, you can use him in different ways.
What do you think the draft round value of somebody like that is?
I think it's got to be around third or fourth round.
All right. That sounds about right. Not too high.
No. I never want to draft a running back higher than that.
Okay.
But high enough that you feel like you're getting a very productive player. Because you've got to replace a very productive player in Philip Lindsay. In my world, if it happens the way that I think that it might.
So if our draft was Caleb Farley, Tevin Jenkins in the second round, right tackle out of Oklahoma State, and running back in the third round, you'd grade that as a pretty good draft. That's how it feels like it's shaping up right
now. Yeah, it feels okay. It's not very exciting, but it feels okay.
It's a bunch of needs. You lost Phillip Lindsay.
Yeah.
Maybe you lost A.J. Boye. You're going to just hang in there with, our guy,
Drew
Locke.
I could come up with more exciting drafts, but that sounds like a reasonable draft.
Listen, I had a thought about Von Miller, too, that we just really haven't addressed, and there's news about a player being released that kind of spurred this thought. That details on that next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Richie just brought to my attention the Vikings have released Kyle Rudolph, tight end. George Payton?
Oh, we need another tight end. That's what we need, D-Mac. Come on.
Who are our tight ends?
I hope we draft a tight end in the first round. I hope we sign a tight end in free agency. Give me some more tight ends around here.
We got Albert O, Noah Fant, Nick Finette, Jake Butt. Butt's still on the team, right?
Fumagalli? Is he still around?
I think Fumagalli's still around. I don't know. Kyle Rudolph, huh? Well, he was pretty good.
Kyle Rudolph's a great football player.
Yeah. By the way, another Kyle Van Noy, has been let go by the Dolphins. He signed a 4-year, $51 million contract with $30 million guaranteed. Signing bonus of $12 million last season. Yikes.
Yeah, something's weird there. You know, he would fit the bill of a position of need, especially if we move on from Von Miller. I've got Bud Dupree up on my board, so certainly Kyle Van Noy would fit the bill. I have no idea what the heck the storyline is there, though, and there has to be a big story.
Neither does Van Noy. Quote, I am surprised and disappointed in their decision as a captain. I gave my all to the team. I fought through a painful hip injury during the season, including spending a night at the hospital after a game. I was brought there to be a leader, and I know my teammates looked up to and respected me. I'm looking forward to making an impact with the next team on and off the field.
Very interesting. You know, that's a ton of money to commit to a guy for 1 year just to get rid of him the next year. Feels like there's got to be
weird.
Feels like there's got to be a deeper story going on there.
I guess. That's crazy. Well, wow. Well, keep your eyes on Kyle Van Noy. I was thinking about Von Miller today.
Okay.
And everything that we've really been talking about with Von Miller just centers around football stuff.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, and I'm curious to have your opinion, because Mike Kliss brought it up yesterday. How much does this off-the-field police stuff that he has going on, or maybe that's the wrong way to put it, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what you want to call it. It's off the field, potential legal problems. How about we call it that? Potential legal problems. How much do you think that's weighing on George Payton's decision to do whatever he's going to do?
It has to be a factor. For sure it has to be a factor. It's a very difficult one, though, because number one, it feels to me like it's very unlikely that you're going to get any resolution from that between now and when you have to make a decision on Vaughn's bonus. That bonus is only a couple weeks away. I mean, is it even 2 weeks away? Is it March 9th? Is that when that bonus is?
Yeah.
Okay.
1 week.
I mean,
Hold on. No, March 9th is the free agent tag. Not free agent tag. It's the franchise tag. Sorry. And then I believe it's the day before the league year starts, which I believe is on the 16th.
Okay, so it's 15-16, somewhere in that ballpark.
So it's 2 weeks on Vaughn and Kareem Jackson, 1 week on Justin Simmons.
Okay, so it feels very unlikely that you're going to have any resolution on any of the legal stuff between now and when you have to make that decision. So
really? Because it feels to me like you won't have resolution, but I am amazed that it's taking this long to decide on a charge or not a charge.
Well, if I'm being honest, to me, it feels like there's not going to be a charge. This has been going on for a very long time. I know that the Parker Police Department has passed it over to the DA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe that was their way of saying that, you know, you need to charge him and you need to come up with it on your own.
Let me ask you this. Do you think you'll hear that it's been completely dismissed or there will be a charge before March 16th?
I do not. No.
You just think we're going to hear nothing?
Correct. I think we're going to be stuck in no man's land.
It'll still be in the wind in 2 weeks.
Right.
Okay.
And well, honestly, if I had to guess, I don't think there's going to be charges brought at this point. Because if it goes the way that, and I forget that lawyer's name that came on Zach's show, but if it goes the way that guy painted it, which was that Parker Police Department wanted to pursue charges, they were not able to because the DA didn't sign off on it. So now they passed it over to the DA and challenged them. Mm-hmm. Well, the DA didn't previously want to charge him. Why are they going to change their mind now? So I don't know. I'm no legal expert here. I'm just, that's just the way it feels to me.
Do you think Peyton is actually waiting for that?
I don't think it's going to play into it very much. Now, that's not saying that it should or that it should not, but what I'm telling you is that the Broncos are probably going to have to make a football decision and a financial decision that is going to have to be made before you know whatever information you need to know on that investigation. So I actually don't think it's going to play into it very much.
Well, it becomes a little bit more interesting. I mean, Kyle Van Noy actually makes the situation a little bit more interesting. I mean, because he's available right now. If he's just been released, he doesn't have to wait for free agency. Boom, you're gone. You're free to sign with anybody you want, just like J.J. Watt was free to sign with anybody he wants.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so, I mean,
I don't know what that changes for Vaughn.
You just got to decide if you want to stick with Vaughn or you want to go in a different direction. I mean,
nothing changes.
You would have had to at least have a conversation inside the building if you wanted to go after J.J. Watt. You'd have to at least have a conversation in the building about Kyle Van Noy. I mean, you'd have to have conversations about these things.
Okay.
Because he'll be gone.
I mean, I don't think that Kyle Van Noy is going to play much into the situation, but I guess he's just another available name that is a realistic option to replace him if you were to move on. Sure.
It'll be interesting. Yeah, 1 week on Simmons, 2 weeks on Kareem Jackson and Vaughn. And for both, it's kind of a holding pattern, no matter what. But the Vaughn decision in 2 weeks is big. It's $7 million.
Yeah, I heard the professor on with Zach and Stoke today, and he said that he thought that the Broncos should just pay that $7 million and then make a decision later on Von Miller. And I'm like,
ridiculous.
Oh, man, I respect the professor for sure. But if you pay $7 million bonus, you're committed.
The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Bounce back. I know you can do it.
This is Lenny Kravitz, but this is a cover song. You know who did the original version of American Woman, and there's an ironic twist to that.
The Doors.
It's not The Doors.
No, I don't.
Oh, my God. My son's calling me during the show. We've had this conversation.
Yeah, no respect for you.
I love them. Hopefully everything's... See, it makes me nervous.
I know. When they call during the show, I actually suggest you answer it. I'm happy to carry us here for a few seconds.
Except for the fact that...
He does it all the time.
He doesn't realize what I've been doing for the past, 11 years. The Guess Who? It's a Canadian band.
Ah, they're all Canadian. All of them. Why are you so mean to Richie?
I love Richie.
Huh?
I love Richie.
You're very, very mean to Richie.
Mm-mm.
Very.
I love Richie.
Yeah. This thing's not working. It's not working. The iPad. Somebody can somebody plug this in? I can't. I don't know how to plug this in.
Uh-huh. Okay. I see what you're doing.
Ah.
That's good. It's all right. I deserve it.
I want to go behind the scenes a little bit further, but I'm not going to.
No, but you know I love Richie.
Yeah.
But sometimes Richie...
Go ahead.
Sometimes I'm curious.
Yeah.
certain conversations should happen at certain times. That's all. I'll just leave it there. I'll just leave it there. Hot Take Tuesday is presented by Papa Murphy's. My guy Ken and Aurora, the Broncos don't get Watson. They draft Patrick Surtain at 9, trade back into the first round and draft Najee Harris to replace Melvin Gordon, who they cut. What do you think? I love that. That'd be exciting as hell.
I like moving back to select a corner. If we're going to select a corner with our first selection, I don't think you have to do that in number 9. So if that's what you've landed on, you know you're going to select a corner. Okay, Patriots, you want Mac Jones? Here you go. Come on up. You can take Mac Jones. No problem with that. I think that's a good idea. I don't like the idea of a first-round running back, though. I don't. Very short shelf life.
But he is probably the best running back out there.
Yeah, but there's guys that I like. I like Travis Etienne. You know, is he going to be a first-rounder?
Maybe. Big maybes on both those guys. But maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I like him a lot, too.
But point being, I don't think you necessarily have to move back into the first rounder to take a running back. You know, I actually would not hate the idea, and this might feel like a little bit of a wasted pick given that we've got Juwan James, but I would not hate the idea of moving back into the first rounder to take a right tackle. You want to move back in 30, 31, 30, somewhere in that ballpark, mm-hmm. take the best available tackle. I could see that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny about the whole fifth-year option. I don't care all that much about a fifth-year option if it doesn't have to do with the quarterback. It's a cool thing to have. It's to the advantage of the fans and the club. It's not to the advantage of a player. So anybody who's like, you know, the fifth-year option doesn't matter, it's like, well, why are you against it? I mean, it just helps you, helps your team. It doesn't help the player. Never really quite got that, but... You know, after 4 years or maybe even 3 years, you basically know what you got, you know, out of all the other positions of all the other players.
Well, I think that it's important when you're talking about moving back into the first round, you do want to consider the fifth year option when you are moving back into it. And I mean that in the sense of when you really want the fifth year option is with your super valuable position. So you want it with a tackle. You want it with a quarterback. You want it with a corner. You want it with a pass rusher. Those are your top priorities on your football team in no particular order. I could do it in a better order. That would be the real order, but that was not it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to move back in, I do think that you should take that into consideration that I'm moving back into a powerful position and I'm giving up capital. It better be for a position that is of utmost priority and that I could actually take advantage of that fifth year option. To me, running backs, they're not a concern for me on that fifth year option.
Hot take, cut Melvin Gordon, sign Leonard Fournette for $3 million.
I don't hate Leonard Fournette. I think he's a much better running back than a lot of people do. I used to feel like you were really down on him.
I was down on him for where he was drafted because
sure.
I thought it was ridiculous because he takes so much punishment. I love Leonard Fournette and the role he is in right now, which is not the primary running back. He's just the kind of he's the second guy. And yeah, okay, fine. And at $3 million, a guy like Leonard Fournette is fine. My beef with Leonard Fournette was where he was taken because I thought it was a dumb move.
He feels to me like the ultimate example of a guy that needs a Melvin Gordon in the room. He needs to know that there's somebody that is capable of taking his position. And if he doesn't feel that threat, then he gets a little bit complacent.
Fine. Let's hype it up. Let's have some competition there. You know?
So to answer it, I'm not overly interested in it because we're more or less saying that he would be the featured workhorse in that situation.
But that being said, I think there are a lot of running backs who can fill the same role that Leonard Fournette fills. When Leonard Fournette scored a touchdown for the Bucs this year, you know, it was like a bus lane, man. He just...
Oh, he was running hard in the Super Bowl, man.
Okay,
fine. He was
fine.
Running hard.
But there's a lot of guys that run hard. There's a lot of guys like that.
Sure, I'm not trying to oversell Leonard.
I mean, who are the special running backs in the league right now?
Well, you've only got a handful of them.
There's
I mean, seriously, you've really probably only got 3 or 4.
Right. Can we think of them? Oh, by
sure.
The way,
you got Derrick Henry. You've got Christian McCaffrey. Yes. You've got Alvin Kamara.
Did you see the video of Alvin Kamara snowboarding?
I did. Yeah. Was that in Colorado?
No, it was in Montana.
Okay. Yeah. Dude. Pretty respectable, actually.
He, from what I understood, he's really never done that before.
Right.
And he was going fast and catching air. And I mean,
I thought it looked respectable. No,
he took some falls that they were videotaping, and I'm just looking at somebody who's a beginner snowboarder, and that's an aggressive way to learn how to snowboard.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's not how I would teach it. And he was obviously on a trail that had a little bit of, you know, get up and go. And if you point the board forward and you don't know how to turn, you're going to catch speed, even on a kind of a green.
You know,
it was, to me, it was like, whoa.
My parents raised me well. They raised me to be a skier, and they knew that was like, there's priorities in life. You want to be a skier, not a snowboarder. But I was a punk kid at one point in my life, and I wanted to attempt snowboarding because
sure,
it looked cool, right?
Of course, of course.
I could hang out with the cool kids.
Of course.
So I did attempt snowboarding one time in my life.
Right.
And I broke my arm, and I never did it again.
I had a bet. This is years ago, like 20 years ago, and the guy who never snowboarded before was me. I snowboarded, another guy skied who had never skied before, and like, how's that going to go? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Did it for about a half hour. I fell down a million times.
This isn't fun.
I hated it. Yeah. I turned my snowboard in, and I got my skis. And I'll tell you this, skiing at a beginner stage, way, way, way easier than snowboarding.
Oh, I was trying to tell Kevin that yesterday. He's like, oh, it's got to be easier to learn how to snowboard.
No, you're standing
in the opposite direction.
No.
It's just not easier.
Not easier. All right, anyways, I guess he was all right. J.J. Watt in Arizona, the ramifications of that. Troy Rank will give us the latest Broncos news, all still to come.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Well, now this. Any idiot can learn how to snowboard. Hot Take Tuesday. Skiing is much harder to learn. I've been skiing for 53 years. I learned how to snowboard over a weekend. And then this one, skiing, easier to learn, harder to master. Correct. Snowboarding, harder to learn, easier to master. That one is correct. Anybody can basically learn how to snowboard. If you can give it 3 straight days, you'll be fine. But seriously, literally anybody can just get down the mountain with about a half hour lesson skiing because you can snowplow.
That's not true. That's not true. My brother-in-law, I'm going to use his name, Jeff Winberg. I'm calling you out. Taller than me. Married my sister, who's a tall gal, 6'1".
Uh-huh.
Jeff Winberg was a collegiate athlete, played basketball in college.
Okay.
He had never been skiing until about a year ago. Uh-huh. And, you know, my family grew up skiing, and then we go on, like, ski vacations. So when we go skiing, he just kind of, like, hangs out with the kids behind. So he decided to come one day, and I'm just going to tell you right now, that was a sight to see. Not just anybody can pick it up, it turns out.
Okay. Do you think you'd have better success snowboarding?
I can't say I have much experience with snowboarding. I'm just, taking a free shot at my brother-in-law on air.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. That's messed up. How much did you take him right up the mountain?
I was actually not there, but the whole family was there, like everybody except for me.
But the idea was
there's
like,
video of him going barreling into like the little orange rails at the bottom and just cannot stop.
Well, listen, man, I can't speak as a snowboarder because I'm not a snowboarder. I just know I've taught people who have never skied how to ski, and it just looks a lot easier just on day one. Never done either to just teach a, this is how you snowplow. That's all. I mean, because essentially with skiing, you were still looking straight ahead. Your feet are straight. You can pizza french fries, man.
Right, who
can't really do that? Snowboarding to me is you've got to fully commit to making an entire turn. Like you have to have the mechanics of it down a little bit. And when you fall in snowboarding, you tend to fall with your arms, your wrists, your shoulders.
They say snowboarding is all upper extremities. That's where the injuries are. And skiing is all lower extremities.
Yeah, sometimes skiing too, when you fall, everything else clicks off. You know, you just set the binding at a very releasable thing and you just tumble off. It's not a big deal. Anyway, I don't know, but I saw Alvin Kamara snowboarding and I was like, holy cow, that dude is taking some risks right there.
You'd be surprised how many guys ski and snowboard.
Well, if they're good, fine.
You'd be surprised how many guys ski and snowboard.
You should ask Troy. I don't even know. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider.
Brought to you by ROX Rocks Heating and Air.
Yeah, I don't know, Troy. Are you a skier or a snowboarder?
I have skied a lot during my life. I only snowboarded once. I water skied. I like slalom water ski way better.
Wow.
Because I'm just not a fan of being cold. So I grew up water skiing.
Damn. Well, that's cool. Where did you, in Pueblo, you grew up water skiing? Where?
At Lake Minocqua. It was fantastic. Little tiny lake. You'd go out there, especially in high school, because we could drive across town. It's over there past CF&I by Millstop, the famous Mexican restaurant. But anyway, we'd just put the boat on, go out there like 7:30 in the morning, and we'd just ski on glass until our arms, like your just arms would cramp up. Like, I can't ski anymore. We have to go home.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right. Are you hearing anything? Let's just start with Justin Simmons. Let's start there and we'll go from there. Justin Simmons, are you hearing anything?
Well, there's motivation to keep Justin Simmons, and it's different than last year because George Payton espouses a model of draft and development. And even though he didn't draft and develop Justin Simmons, that's what it looks like. You get a guy, he's homegrown, he does everything, checks every box on and off the field. And they will find a way to keep him, is my belief. Now, I don't think they'll get a deal done before March 9th because, you know, Simmons might wait to see if Adams signs. He might wait. But they're close enough between the franchise tag and what the top salary would be that there's a feeling something will get done, D-Mac. It might take until July 15th. If you look at Todd France's history as an agent, he doesn't have a sense of urgency to anything. He's not going to blink. And they're going to try to get it to the end. So I would be surprised if something got done before the tag has to be declared by the 9th. But I do believe this summer, as we sit here today, something will get done.
So in your mind, the tag is sort of irrelevant in the big picture. It's not an indication of whether they want to come to a long-term deal or not.
I agree. And you've said this before, Tyler, and I agree with you. If you're going to keep Simmons, you're better off to keep him on a long-term deal. Because once you tag him, you have no elasticity with the salary. And it creates some acrimony, whether they say it or not. Privately, it makes the player feel like, I'm not going to be here after this year because they're not going to tag him a third time. And it just feels like 2 years in a row, we couldn't get anything done. I'm playing the string out. And I'm just telling you, that's what players, that fills their heads. Whether it does with Justin, I can't speak for him. But I know in general, it affects the relationship between the team and the player. And in the case of Simmons, he's their guy. So I just think it's going to get done. It's just going to require patience, and it might go down to July 15th. They're close enough on the money to get a long-term deal done, and you could make his base salary then $5 million this year like they did with Garrett Bowles on his long-term deal.
All right, Von Miller, what are you hearing, if anything?
Yeah, Von's situation, I still think it's 50-50. I know some are painting it more optimistically, but you know, the J.J. Watt deal shows you to at least some degree what the market would be for Vaughn. I mean, they both turned 32 this month. Their production is wildly similar. I mean, Watt's got a couple defensive player of the year things, but Vaughn has Super Bowl 50 MVP. I mean, their career total, sacks, production, very similar. Watt's had more injuries, but Vaughn's coming off an injury. So 2 year, 31, 23 guaranteed for Watt. Joby Brannion, Miller's agent, will make sure Vaughn knows this is kind of the market. If you want to leave and they ask you to take a pay cut, you can go somewhere else, whether it's Cleveland, Green Bay, pick a team. There'll be a market for Von Miller. The part I don't know, D-Mac, is how much does Von want to finish his career here? I do think there's going to be resolution with the off-field issue with the Parker police, and I think that's going to be resolved here in the next week or two before the March 16th deadline. So that might provide some clarity. But I think it's 50-50. Because every dollar counts, and Vaughn's on the wrong side of 30, and he wasn't himself in 19, so I can't sit here and say he will be back. I think it's a chance, but they may say take a pay cut, and he's like, you know what, I'm good. I'm going to go be a free agent. I want to see what that's like, and I could see that happening just as clearly as well.
So you do think that there'll be resolution. To me, that feels awfully quick as long as this investigation has been taking. I'm actually surprised to hear you say that you think that it'll be resolved by between now and when they have to give him the bonus.
Well, it took time with Parker Police. Now it's in the hands of the DA. That's different. And I just think, based on my sources and people I talked to in the last couple of days, the sense is there could be resolution in the next couple of weeks. And that could help Vaughn. Obviously, if he's cleared and there's no charges, mm-hmm. that helps Vaughn. Because, you know, if you get involved in a domestic situation in the NFL, that's a 6-game suspension.
Right.
And you're talking about almost half of your season. So I think that would help Vaughn. But that's not necessarily hinging on him returning. I just think for his sake, having that removed would be hugely beneficial, whether he's to stay with the Broncos or become a free agent.
Hey, have you been watching any college quarterbacks these days?
I watched them last season. Am I watching them, in pro days, you mean?
Well, in general. How familiar are you with the crop of quarterbacks coming in? I mean, the big five, really, which is forget about Lawrence, doesn't matter. So really four, Wilson, Lance, Jones, and Fields.
Yeah, I watch those guys a lot. I mean, I love college football. I actually like watching it more than pro football because I enjoy it just because of the pageantry and the enthusiasm, and game day was lost this year because of COVID, but I just like the college experience more. And it's an interesting draft class. Zach Wilson's becoming an X-factor. I know Tyler, that's his guy now. I'm a little concerned that in 2019 he was just okay.
Mm-hmm.
And my one concern with Wilson would be, and I need to watch it more. I've watched probably three of his games last year. They didn't play anybody. And the one game they played, Coastal Carolina, they lost. And so that's a bit of a concern for me.
Right.
Justin Fields is a remarkable athlete. He's been the best player. He was one of the top recruits in the country. He's a special player. You know, you just have to make sure the offense translates to him and don't put a square peg in a round hole. Trey Lance, I loved when I watched him win the national championship 2 years. He 2 years ago, he played one game last season.
Yeah.
So I just think he's going to be raw. And Mac Jones, I'm warming to him a little bit because of how smart he is. I just don't want a quarterback that's that limited athletically. And when you say Breeze can do it or Tom Brady can do it or Phillip Rivers, they are the exception to the rule. I mean, you're talking, and Peyton Manning, you're talking like the guy that solves the quiz in Goodwill Hunting on the chalkboard. They're smarter than the rest of us. So if Mac Jones is that smart, then maybe. But we heard the Tua Tagovailoa comparisons to Drew Brees. Oh, he's that accurate. He's that. You watch him, you're like, he's not Drew Brees. He might be. He's not. And that's why Mac Jones is so limited athletically. He would create pause for me, given where the game is going in terms of mobile quarterbacks.
But you are acknowledging inherently then there could be more than just one acceptable quarterback.
You just can't help yourself.
At least there's a possibility.
You're worse than him.
Troy, there's at least what I'm hearing, you're saying there's at least a possibility there could be more than one, right?
Well, I mean, you're counting five. I don't know if you count Trask in that. But
no.
I would say two we'll look up in a couple of years, and two of them are going to be special. I would be shocked if Trevor Lawrence is not a star in the NFL. It might not happen his rookie year.
Take away Trevor Lawrence.
He's going to be a star.
Take away Trevor Lawrence. Could there be more than one Zach Wilson, Fields, Jones, Lance?
Say in theory yes, Troy. Just say it. Just say
in
it.
Theory yes, D-Man.
Theory yes. All right, just checking if there could be more than one. That's all. All right, Troy, anything else we should be aware of? Anything else we should know?
You know, I'm finishing up a story on Calvin Anderson, who started one game at right tackle, one at left tackle.
Number 76.
And he can solve the Rubik's Cube behind his back. This guy was a mathematics, economic analysis major at Rice.
Wait a second.
Was that a literal statement?
How can he solve a Rubik's Cube without looking at it?
He's brilliant. He's been solving them since he was 13. He's sponsored by Rubik's Cube.
What?
So he does it before games still to calm his nerves and to form his critical thinking and identifying his assignments an offensive lineman. Calvin.
I was really not a smart offensive lineman.
That's what I should have told him. Is like, wait, you're smart. I've been around Schlager than Palumbo.
No, so fair.
God.
He's so smart. I said to him, what in the hell are you doing playing football? But he had all these broad interests in life, and he left Rice and as a graduate transfer to go to Texas because he just loves football, and he wants to play the dream out.
Awesome.
He's training with Garrett Bowles right now in Southern California.
Doesn't he live with Garrett?
He's going to enter the DB zone, and Tyler's going to be like, Wait, I heard it first on the Fan that Calvin Anderson entered the GB zone, and we're going to see it at camp. I'm not even being sarcastic. I'm curious to how this guy plays next year because he's so smart. Now he's applying the training. Could he be a factor at right tackle? I don't know. I mean, we don't know what Juwan James is going to look like. We haven't seen him in pads in 15 months. I hope Juwan's healthy productive.
Hold on.
I don't know.
So Tyler's about to break some more news.
I don't think I'm breaking anything. I'm pretty sure that he lived with Garrett and his wife throughout the season.
That makes sense.
This past year.
No,
Troy, that doesn't make sense. Garrett Bowles is a married man with two kids. It does not make sense Anderson would live with him.
It makes sense. That's why he's now training with him in California.
Well, all right, but why the hell would he live with him? That doesn't make sense. How does that make sense?
He wasn't sure he was going to make the team, and he said Garrett just kind of took him in.
I mean,
remember, he was one of the last cuts. He was one of the last guys to make the roster, and my guess is he lived in a guest house or something. I mean, it's not like, you know, they're living on a couch like you or I would, D-Mac, at some friend's house, you know, after an all-nighter. Like, this is a little different.
I'll just say that is awful generous of Garrett Bowles.
Hey, man, Matt Paradis played his entire career with the Denver Broncos, living in the basement of my former CU bus teammate, Ryan Miller.
What?
Yep, that's right.
Stop.
No, that's a fact.
You're just making stuff.
No. That is an absolute fact.
That was a millionaire starter at one point.
He played his entire career living in Ryan's basement.
I'm going to text Matt and ask him that after we get off this
call.
That's right. Matt, I know he's...
Go ahead, put it out on Twitter after you verify it. Heard it from me first.
All right, hold on. With Ryan and his parents in Littleton?
No, with Ryan and his wife. Where Ryan had his own family.
So Matt thought it was a good idea to live with Ryan Miller and his wife.
That's right, yes.
Live with them for years.
Yes, for years. That's right.
Wow, the things you learn.
I can see it. I love Matt Paradis. He is such a simple guy. Like, I could see him literally, like, this is the perfect setup. I just get up, eat, go to work, come back. Like,
No. It's good for Matt Paradis. How is that good for Ryan Miller's wife?
Hey, it's rent, man. Let's pay the bills.
Airbnb. We got a year lease. I'm going to check. I'm pretty sure Matt's married now, and he had a huge contract with Carolina, so I don't think he's living with anyone else now other than his fiance or wife. But I'm going to text him after we get out the air.
I love these people on the text line. Just memorize the algorithm, and it's easy.
Right.
My stepbrother can solve it blindfolded behind his back in seconds. Algorithms. I solve Rubik's Cubes with my eyes closed. I'm glad we have the smartest audience in the world.
I have heard that, and I understand that, like, there's definitely a hack and a cheat sheet to it. But I will say this. Calvin Anderson was mathematic economic analysis major at Rice with a minor in religion, and he mastered in business at University of Texas.
He's got his master's degree?
Anybody.
Oh, my God.
He was on the path to the master's degree, and then, again, the NFL beckoned. That's what I'm saying.
That is amazing.
Cool story.
Can you imagine if he came in here with a Rubik's Cube and we have our assortment of Tyler, Orlando, and Mark Schlereth, and he would try to teach our offensive linemen how to solve a Rubik's Cube?
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. My son can actually almost do it already, and it's my worst nightmare.
I got to admit, too, there's got to be, because a Rubik's Cube is relatively small and you are all really big guys, like just... The dexterity with your fingers would be pretty remarkable.
My brain just doesn't work like that, or at all.
Thank you, Troy. With this, Troy and I have the right size pixie-like hands. It's just that it's the mental part that would... Oh, by the way, Troy, as a proud CU grad, how fired up are you that you are breaking the streak since 1994 with playing CSU to replace them with UNC on September 3rd?
It's cool to see. I mean, I'm anxious to see eager to see how the Eddie Mack experiment goes at UNC. His son will be starting. So I'm eager to see. Along with Dylan McCaffrey, quarterback?
Is Max McCaffrey?
No, UNC's going to Louisville.
No, that's Dylan.
I'm sorry. Luke is going. Max is back there.
Right.
Andrew Brister, Bubby's son, is a quarterback.
No way! I didn't know that.
That's why you guys call me.
Troy, what is a better story? CU playing CSU or CU playing UNC in light of Ed McCaffrey and Dylan McCaffrey? What's a better story?
For the state, it'd be CSU. I mean, for those of us who know the Broncos, it's it's Eddie Mack cool, but there's just no history there.
D-Mack's blinded. He's just blinded.
It's CSU. I mean, because the state cares. The state won't embrace CU-UNC. They just won't. They embrace CU-CSU.
All right. I think you're wrong with all
due
respect.
You're so blinded.
But we love you. Thank you, Troy.
Yep.
Troy Rank, brought to you by
ROX Rocks Heating and Air,
KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
So what happens when it isn't a unanimous decision? What happens when you and Brad are maybe in a disagreement on a player? Who has that final decision, whether it's free agency or draft?
Good question. That's been clear. Yeah, Brad and I do.
Okay, so again, what happens if you don't agree?
Well, here's what I would say. I kind of brought this up this is weeks ago. But here's what I'd say about a true alpha. A true alpha knows when it's time to concede for the betterment of the team. And so I would tell you one way or another, there's already been a couple of things where it's like, maybe we don't. You see it a little more this way, I see it a little. We haven't had one problem, and we're not going to have a problem. Because if we feel like it's a betterment for the team, and ultimately, let's go to what does the Brad feels one way? What does the pack feel like? How does everybody feel? How do all the coaches feel? How does Ray Agnew feel? And if I'm the odd man out, I got zero problem being like. And so, listen, I'm just telling you, I know where you're going with it. It won't be a problem. I know a true alpha knows when it's time to concede.
Dan Campbell for y'all.
This guy is just a gift that keeps on giving.
Wow. That is awesome.
A true alpha knows when it's time to concede.
And Brad Holmes is the alpha in this situation, right?
Well, he's his boss. Yeah, he's the GM. He's the guy that hired Dan Campbell.
I love how he threw him under the bus a little bit again, by the way. Did you catch it? Did you catch it when he said, you know, Brad might feel some way, but how does the pack feel?
How does the pack feel?
How do the rest of us feel?
Oh, you disagree? Hey, all the coaches hired, come here.
Pack, you got my back, right?
Right.
The dude's in charge. The dude abides.
Right. Hey, I feel this way, and nerd over there feels that way. What do you guys think? You know, all the guys I hired who were pro players who now coach with me. What do you got? What do you, me or Brad?
Right.
Oh, me? Oh, I can't believe it.
A true alpha knows when it's time to concede.
Hey, let's break the tie, Brad, because you and I disagree. Let me get all the guys in that I also lifted weights with and figure out what's what.
A true alpha knows when it's time to concede.
By the way, I was called a beta on the text line.
Well, you're not an alpha, that's for sure.
I'm not?
No. Well, I mean, you're...
No?
You want to be an alpha, but you're not.
I want to be an alpha. What's holding me back?
Well, stature is a huge...
Oh, how tall do you need to be an alpha?
Well, taller than you.
Taller than me? Yeah. How tall? Yeah, I mean it's taller than me.
Taller than you.
So, 5'7¼?
Like an alpha move would be Mark Schlereth taking over all your real estate on the Bebop, which was your idea.
That's a good point.
And, absolutely just taking over your specific calling,
I
right?
I see what you're saying.
Now,
I shouldn't allow that to happen.
You shouldn't allow that to happen.
Even though they're
because
actually...
Mark is the alpha in that situation, he took over your real estate.
Look at that. I didn't even think of it that way.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Or he just left the area that you could reach.
But you know what?
A true alpha knows when it's time to concede.
So really, if I concede, aren't I showing that I am a true alpha?
Fair point.
Yeah. I could do something.
You could.
I mean, wouldn't be hard.
You could go move those cards. You could toss them all in the trash.
I could do a million.
You could put your name right back where it belongs, on equal ground with everybody else in this building.
But you know what?
A true alpha knows when it's time to concede.
Did you not feel like that was a little bit of a power struggle, what he just did there?
A true alpha knows when it's time to concede.
Yeah. You're losing that war.
The boys were so funny today.
That's factually, based on history, that's wrong. Logically speaking, that's wrong. It's lazy. It's a lazy approach to taking questions.
It's auto draft.
It's a lazy, desperate approach.
Mike's referring to saying you could have my theory is if you need a quarterback, there's a possibility there could be more than one that you should consider. That it doesn't have to be just one. It may be just one. Who knows? It depends on the year. It depends on the value of that player compared to everything else. Depends on what you have. But certainly, as we just heard Troy say, sure, there could be more than one. In 2018, there was definitely one. And the person that really had this only one strategy was John Elway, who fired himself recently.
To taking quarterbacks.
That's well, auto draft and fantasy.
If not this guy, then that guy. I can respect Tyler saying, I've looked at him, and this is the guy. And let me tell you why. And if I can't get him, there's nobody else that I'm interested in. I can respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But this, if not him, then him.
Right.
If not him and him, then him. Weak. Weak.
Not weak. This is how it works, Mike. And your strategy is absolutely the same strategy that John Elway has used to get the Broncos to the point they are right now, Mike. It's the same thing. And you don't realize the hypocrisy of calling for John Elway's head and then still advocating for his exact philosophy.
They definitely are endorsing John Elway's philosophy. You know, the two of you are just the two biggest hypocrites I've ever heard of in my whole life. And it's the both of you for the record.
How am I a hypocrite?
Well, you're sitting here saying it's not like you would take anyone, but last week you literally said on air that if you have a top 10 pick, you should select a quarterback every year. And
if you don't have a quarterback.
No, you said every year.
No.
Yes, you did.
You only take a quarterback if you don't have one or you don't believe you have one.
Your whole philosophy was Tyler, that you select one and let the competition rise.
Do you seriously think if I'm in Kansas City and I was the Chiefs and I had a top 10 pick, I'd be picking a quarterback?
I'm just going off what you told me last week.
The vast majority of teams in the NFL aren't looking at a quarterback.
You might have changed your mind, but that's what you said last week.
You're just making stuff up, man.
I've never said that. I'm not making that
up. Why would I take...
Text it on the text line if you've heard it.
Why would I take a quarterback if I already have a quarterback?
That was just your newfound philosophy. That every year you can bring in competition to raise the bar of the room.
That's totally different than taking a quarterback in the first round.
If you had a top 10 pick, you should take a quarterback every year that you have a top 10 pick.
If you don't have a quarterback. If you're okay, not sold on your quarterback.
I mean, that's not what you said last time, but...
Well, what you're... saying that I said, which I didn't, literally makes no sense. I mean, that's me being a hypocrite?
Hold on.
So your example of me being a hypocrite is saying something I've never said and don't believe in.
Well, you did say it.
All right, dude. Are you in the foxhole or not? You're killing me right now.
The problem is...
There's no way I said it, but let me just, for the sake of argument.
I will give you the benefit of the doubt that you intended to say if you needed a quarterback.
Right.
You didn't say that, but I will give you the benefit of the doubt that that's what you meant.
Listen, DMAC, A Relentless Life, pursuing quarterbacks, will hopefully be released on the audiobook version this week.
I can't wait, dude.
Yeah, it is hours of recording, reading the book, and I dare you. And the most exhaustive exercise I've ever done to find that anywhere in the book.
I don't know if it's in the book. It
won't be in the book because I don't believe it and I've never said it. Because
he did say it, but I don't think that he meant it. He said, take a quarterback every year, even if you said that you didn't, even if he didn't qualify, if you didn't have a quarterback.
Oh,
D-Mac says it all the time. And yes, you are right, Tyler. He said it last week.
Wow. So I have to say.
I heard the same. He's guilty. I'm pretty sure that is what D-Mac said.
D-Mac,
you said it. You said it. Tyler, you are 100% correct.
All right. So I literally have to say every time we have this conversation, if you don't have a quarterback and then proceed.
Well, that's just not the way you presented it. So
for the record, it's all based if you have a quarterback or not. If you don't have a quarterback and you have a top 10 pick, you probably should draft a quarterback every year. Period.
Just want you to know I didn't make it up. It feels like a you problem. If everybody out there heard the same thing that I heard, that seems like a you problem.
I cannot wait for the audiobook to be released so this foolishness can stop forever. So you can just have, there's a record of just every piece of minutia out there that you can possibly think of.
Dub definitely said he would draft a quarterback every year.
If you don't have a quarterback, yes. Yes, if you don't have a quarterback, yes.
Oh, my gosh, I want to keep reading these.
More from the Ding Dong.
But because and I'm by the fox, way,
the texture says, you can't be in love with Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. Trevor Lawrence is off the board.
Yeah, we're not counting him in this conversation.
Oh, isn't that handy? So, okay, so there can only be one except this year with Trevor Lawrence. Oh, okay, Mike, good job. So besides Trevor Lawrence, besides him. Oh, and besides Joe Burrow, besides him. Oh, besides Kyler Murray and the other guy, besides him. So stupid. Besides John Elway, and Jim Kelly and Dan Marino, besides the three of them, only one. So dumb.
He's off the board.
I put it this way. I really don't care what they say because Mike is way more hypocritical than you. Because at least he'll put your name on somebody. Name a single guy besides Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence that Mike has put his stamp of approval on.
Nobody.
Guess what?
Kyle Laletta.
You get a good look at it. Never mind. If you're looking for a guarantee, I know how to get you one.
Listen, Mike is in the world of free agent quarterbacks. That's it. And so he should be, and he is on social media, not with Mark. He is on social media sticking up for Drew Lock. God forbid he actually does that on the air, which he doesn't do. But he is sticking up for Drew Lock on social media. But he doesn't stand up to Mark. And they're only one, except, you know, when it's Trevor Lawrence, he doesn't count. He's not a real quarterback. And then just one after that. It's so ridiculous. By basic logic, if it's Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, logically there could be a third as well.
Sure.
It's absurd what they're saying.
Sure.
Anyway. Wait for the texture. It says, you can't be in love with Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. Trevor Lawrence is off the board.
Yeah, we're not counting him in this conversation.
He's off the board.
We're not counting him. This is a Trevor Lawrence-free discussion, okay?
Right, you're talking about the rest
right
of the QBs.
Correct.
By the way, he's really upset when he goes to the mock laugh.
You're right. By the way, that was from one of the glorious. Now, I love all of our texters, but the texters that I love the most on the morning show, I love all of our texters,
right.
Period.
We don't discriminate.
No. I'm from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock and even in between, whatever. I love them all. Love them all. I'm so grateful for anybody listening and participating.
One or two of them I could go without, but just one or two.
That's fine. That's your opinion. I literally love them all at any time they text in. My favorite texters on Mike and Mark's show, by far, are the 8 a.m. texters. Because they're the ones with the good jobs.
Oh, wow. Oh,
those
man.
Are my favorite guys by
mile. Now, that was a shot right there.
I love them.
You better hope none of those 6 a.m.ers listen to us.
Of course they don't listen to us. They've been home since 3 o'clock. They're sleeping. They're getting ready for their horrific life of waking up at 5 o'clock every day.
That was a good shot. It was a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
The 8 a.m. texters are coming home from work right now. Thank you. We love you. I hope that job, doing whatever you were doing, where you can work like normal human beings, is going great. That is, except for truck drivers. I freaking love truck drivers and delivery dudes.
Right.
And school teachers. I love school teachers.
Turn us off.
And bus drivers.
And cashiers that
love
listen to us the
cashiers.
Entire day.
Oh, yeah. My. Warehouse workers.
Yes.
Yes. Military people.
Mm. The house mom that is just hanging out right now.
Driving kids. If you're driving your kid anywhere right now, you are a hero.
House dad that's doing laundry at home.
Way to go, dad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right there with you. I love folding.
Who doesn't?
I really do love folding. I don't know what's wrong with me.
It's
the only household thing I like doing.
Not into it.
All right, good. Got that done. Feel better.
I don't try to get out of the foxhole. Just sometimes you just take yourself out of the foxhole. And I'm too tall to be in a foxhole anyways.
That's for sure. I am a 6 a.m.er. All right. Well, you're all right. I just like the 8 a.m.ers better. That's all. I can like both.
We got a lot of 6 a.m.ers.
Of course. You know I'm being facetious. We appreciate everybody. I just want to tell the 8 a.m. texters that, you know, I value you. You're abused on a daily basis. There's a safe landing point here. I love the 6 a.m. texters as well. I love all the texters. I love our app, DenverFan.com.
Right.
No problems with it. It's Hot Take Tuesday. Hot take. Brad Holmes, the GM of the Vikings, can solve a Rubik's Cube while the true alpha, Dan Campbell, would bow out.
A true alpha knows when it's time to concede.
Right. Like when you're trying to solve a Rubik's Cube. Just give up.
Here's this guy. Hey, hot take. If you're picking in the top 10, you probably need an upgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're a team that's like Miami, who got pretty lucky. They did a deal with the Texans, who did a bad deal, and you get their pick. Only one. Zach Wilson's your guy.
Zach Wilson's my guy.
Mark likes Zach Wilson.
You're 100% right that absolutely there can be multiple successful quarterbacks in any given draft, and absolutely you could be okay with drafting two of them or even three of them if you like three of them. But I also think that just fundamentally what Mike is, what he should be trying to say is that you should identify the single target that you want the most. And then what he should do is he should say, D-Mac is right. After you identify the one guy that you want the most,
yeah,
move heaven and earth to go get that one guy.
Right. The problem with Mike, he never identifies anybody. Ever. And by the way, this would be interesting. What if, seriously, Mike, Tyler, what if Justin Fields was available at 9?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I think I would take him as of today, but I'm not positive on it.
You'd be a fool not to.
Not to take him? Or what?
You'd be a fool not to take him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a specific style of offense that is going to be required to make that work. And I just don't know that. The problem with it is that we've got such an unstable situation with our particular coaching staff that if you draft Justin Fields, you really need a specific coordinator that's going to call a game for his specific skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Zach Wilson could thrive throughout multiple regimes, throughout multiple different coordinators. And Justin Fields, I'm not so positive about. I think he needs a specific situation to succeed.
Yeah, but I've heard you and others, which is an amazing take, to have think that Fangio and Shermer are toast no matter what.
Right. So, and that's why I'm applying that towards Justin Fields.
All right, let me run you through a little exercise just out of curiosity. We know the five guys, even though, yes, Mike and Stink, Trevor Lawrence does count as a quarterback. Their logic, not mine. There are five quarterbacks that are likely to be taken before the top 15 picks, maybe has been. Some people speculate the top nine. Those are Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilson. Those five. If I were to add a six in there,
okay,
I want you to rank those five plus this one more in order of how you think they are as quarterbacks. Drew Lock. So give me those six. Rank them for me. Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2. Justin Fields 3. Drew Lock, Mac Jones, Trey Lance.
Okay, so if Justin Fields would fit the same criteria, you should go get Justin Fields, if you feel like that.
Hold on, you didn't hear the last part that I just told you, that it requires a specific type of coordinator and a specific type of game plan that I'm just not sure that we're ready to commit to.
I get it, but
it's not as simple as just saying that, yes, I think that he's better.
But you also said, we're going to fire these two dudes, Fangio and Shermer, anyway, so whatever. We'll have Fields, whatever it'll be, and next year I can hire guys specifically to suit him. Who cares?
I don't want to waste the rookie year in a bad scheme that could totally spook a young player.
Don't worry about it. Bring in a veteran quarterback. Bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Ryan Fitzpatrick will be excited. He knows he'll get 1 year as a starter in the NFL at 38. He'll be all in for it. Pay him $10 million. You'll have Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Look, you're probably not going to have to try too hard to convince me that if Justin Fields is available at 9 that we should take him. You're probably right, and I probably will get there eventually. I'm just telling you that as of today, I've got my mind made up on Zach Wilson, and fine, I'm debating Justin Fields. So you can try to continue to talk back me into the corner.
I'm not. I don't want to. I want to back Mike Evans into a corner. And then I just want to tease him with the buffet that he can't really get to because I got a leash around his ankle. But he's just like, he's like 2 feet away from the
perfect
buffet. Just he can't quite get there.
And as there's only one item at that buffet table that he likes, though.
Well, that's right. We've already cleared that up. If the crab legs are gone, Mike's done. He's walking away from the prime rib. Mount Palumbus Peak is next.